Elizabeth Esty, I want to talk to you about the Supreme Court. I keep hearing from people who are for Bernie, saying that they're not going to vote for Hillary no matter what in the general election. And a recent poll showed about a third of the Bernieites were saying that. Now, I have to confess, I'm a Bernieite, but the whole idea of letting the Supreme Court of the United States go to the Republicans because you're mad at Hillary for running seems to me to be misplaced. Am I wrong?
Well, I will tell you, I think one of the most important jobs of the President of the United States is to nominate folks to the Supreme Court. We've got a vacancy right now, and we've already seen it begin to have an effect. You know, a 4-4 divided court has serious consequences, and that's basically, there's an expression that justice delayed is justice denied. Mm. And we're going to see that as long as that vacancy is open. We're going to see inconsistent decisions. We're going to see bizarre circumstances where decisions don't line up are going to be in opposition in different parts of the country, because the court's job is to be able to resolve those disagreements. And it's hobbled in its ability to do that right now by the decision of Senator McConnell and others on the Republican side in the Senate to say, we are refusing to even consider the nomination of an extraordinary jurist, Merrick Garland, who I've known for 30 years, who would be a tremendous asset to the court. They can't find a thing to say wrong about him, and they know that, but they're effectively acting as if the president's term is 3 years, not four. And with all due respect, whether it's this president or any other, government needs to function. It's bad enough that Congress is tied up in knots. They shouldn't tie up the Supreme Court as well. And because I am so aggravated about this, I'm a member of the Supreme Court bar, so I have a little more insight to the consequences of leaving that vacancy open. I'm introducing a bill called the SCOTUS Act, you'll like the title, for the Senate's Court Obligations Trump Unconstitutional Stalling Act. So the SCOTUS Act would really call to account the Senate's refusal to take action. And let me be very clear, Alan. I'm not saying, and no, I don't think anybody's saying, that the Senate has to confirm any particular nomination. What the Senate does have to do, though, is take up nominations and take action in a timely fashion. In modern history, the Senate has never failed to take action within 125 days. So my bill would require, if they do not take action in 125 days, which conveniently expires right around the time of the two-party conventions this summer, to require the Senate and House to stay in session until the Senate takes action. And again, that's taking up and having confirmation hearings, which then they are free to vote down if they so choose. But they are not free to hobble the third branch of government of the judiciary by refusing to take up an appointment.
I was fascinated when you said you've known Garland for 30 years. How so?
Well, when I started out as a young lawyer, and my husband did too, over 30 years ago, he was just a newly minted partner in the law firm of Arnold & Porter, and my husband and I got to be friends with him and his then-girlfriend, now wife, so we've known them for a long time.
And you mentioned that you're a part of the Supreme Court bar. You've appeared before the Supreme Court?
I've worked on cases before the Supreme Court, but I have not argued ones. I was a very junior lawyer. So I was mostly doing a lot of work checking commas and making sure what's in italics. And my crucial duty was going to the printers at 5 o'clock in the morning the day the briefs were getting printed and checking the line type. It's actually an extraordinary operation, which I still think is done by hand. It's some real craftsmen in Washington who actually print both the court decisions and also print all the briefs for everybody who appears before the courts, because they might as well have law degrees, the folks who set the line type.
It's an impressive operation. You walk into the Supreme Court and you really have a sense of not only history, but, you know, what this institution is.
Well, you look at the role the court has played in U.S. history, and they have boldly pushed, you know, sometimes when Congress has been stuck, and take something like Brown versus Board of Education. You know, part of the real impetus to push civil rights forward. And you think, you know, that came a decade before the Civil Rights Act. So you think some of these great movements and some of the great advances in U.S. history, some of them have started with the court being willing to treat the Constitution as a living document and to help us reach our highest aspirations as a country. I'm a strong believer in the court's ability to help push us and remind us of what's best about this country, even when it's uncomfortable. Now, they don't always get it right. No institution does. But they have been a critical part of this country's serving as a beacon of light and hope and democracy for the whole world. You know, the world is in envy of our institutions of justice.
Yep.
And I hate to see the Supreme Court hobbled in the way it's being right now for what's a political game. The institution deserves, and the American people deserve better than that.
Well, I've always thought of this as a bit with a two-year-old who just has gone into a snit and has decided, no matter what, they are not going to give it up, and they're going to pound their feet on the floor until you put them inside for quiet time. But the fact of the matter is, that's what the Republicans are doing. There's no way out for them. Look, it does appear that the Democrats are going to win this thing, and they have a chance to put an outstanding jurist who's been, you know, we could call him a centrist, for years and years on the court, as opposed to waiting for somebody to come in and do them far worse.
Well, again, he's an extraordinarily qualified judge of exceptional character and insight and temperament. He served with Chief Justice Roberts. They served together on the Court of Appeals. Senator Hatch has, in fact, in an earlier confirmation hearing, I believe it was for Justice Kagan, said to the effect, well, if you brought up somebody eminently qualified and centrist like Merrick Garland, we could be through this confirmation process, you know, in an instant. So you have the very members who are stalling and opposing in the Senate right now are the same people who have pointed to Judge Garland as exactly who they would love to see on the court. It's simply sort of saying, it wasn't my pick, therefore I don't like your pick. And you know what? That's just not a mature and responsible way to be. And again, the consequences are this, Alan. If the Senate doesn't take up that nomination and vote on it, there will not be a new justice on the Supreme Court until after an entire judicial session, an entire year of Supreme Court arguments, because the court meets from October to April. They won't get somebody on. The next president won't get somebody on until after all those cases have been heard.
And they'll
That's just the reality. So you're going to have a year and a half of a lot of 4-4 deadlock cases. And that's just wrong. That's just wrong. A third of the cases last year were 5-4.
But it also,
and most of those would be 4-4 now. And that's just wrong for the American people.
But it also hurts them, the Republicans, because if you think about it, their issues, when they had a 5-4, they had a majority. That's why they're screaming so hard. But now, if it's 4-4, if it comes out of a court where Obama has appointed the majority of the members, they're going to lose.
Well, again, I think the bottom line should be this. We've gotten ourselves in a bad place, at least the Senate has, around judicial appointments. And there's a big, vigorous fight of who started the fight. Mm. But it's time to stop it.
Mm.
It's time to stop it. Whoever started it, and there's, you know, the latest round of this really started with the nomination of Robert Bork, Judge Bork.
Sure.
But that's basically provided an excuse for continued infighting in a way that did not historically take place. You know, historically, the president named people as long as they were qualified and not seen as sort of overtly political. And even some who were pretty political got confirmation hearings, and most of them got named to the court. And that's just been the history of this country, and we need to get back to that. We need to get back to that. This is one of those areas where both sides have to take a deep breath and say, we're not going to do this anymore. We're going to get back to allowing the government to function, and I would love to see that happen here.
We love to hear the voice of Elizabeth Esty on our air because you make so much sense, and thank you so much. When we come back the next time, we'll talk about, well, women and entrepreneurship, okay?
Women and entrepreneurship. Sounds good.